I think most of us who stand in pulpits at some point have to preach the Sermon on the Mount, and we kind of go, is there another scripture I can preach? This is probably one of those that is so full of things that we could preach this whole series on each blessed, but this lectionary gives it to us all in one lump sum. So I thought about today being the Super Bowl. And we have these two teams that are fighting one another for some sort of trophy. And there's a huge amount of hype around, you know, teams, and maybe even some hype around what teams aren't there or what team isn't there. But we get into this place of battle when sports happen, especially things like football and hockey. I grew up on ice hockey, and I grew up back when ice hockey was every now and then you got a goal between the fights. But you remember those years? Yeah. Who got to go to the hospital that particular game? And I thought about all of this sense of rivalry that we have, not only on the sports field, but in the world and even in the church. So we're having a beatitude or blessing bowl this morning, because it seems that sometimes these blessings that are in this particular passage where Jesus is preaching compete with one another, or we feel like one blessing may be better than another blessing, and maybe I want to be the blessed one who is hunger and thirsting for righteousness, but someone else is blessed because they are meek. And why does one have more precedence over another, and is there one that's more important? And is there one of these places I want to be so that God can see me? You don't think we do that? You don't think we kind of pick and choose where we want to be blessed? You don't think we kind of think about what somebody else is more blessed than us? And maybe that person doesn't need to be blessed? Or maybe we want to be really Southern and say, bless you, child. Jesus is speaking not just to the crowd, but if you notice, he sits down and his disciples come to him. So the people who are really going to hear what Jesus has to say are his disciples. The crowd may be like those who sit in the third pew and need some additional amplification. They're going to sit there going, I know he's speaking, but I can't hear a word he's saying. So it's a mixed audience. So who is Jesus making sure gets the point of this time? Because remember, the scripture says he saw the crowds and he went up the mountain and sat down. So he saw the crowd. So how kind of a Super Bowl crowd. He had to get the right space and place so that people could see and hear him. But he sits down. He sits down to share this word. And then he shares his words to those who are closest and maybe those who are within range to hear him. And he talks about what it means to be blessed by God. And in Matthew, we have the poor in spirit. Again, there's this whole blessing bowl, because in Luke, we bless the poor. In Matthew, we bless the poor in spirit. So who are we supposed to be blessing? Who is blessed? Those who are poor? For those who are poor in spirit. And guess what the answer is? Yes. They both are. Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what a reassuring word for those times when you're feeling like you don't matter. But you matter to God. Whether you are poor and poor in spirit, you are in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine that? To be able to remember that, to remember that we are blessed because we are members of the kingdom of heaven. But as he begins to share this conversation with them, he talks about those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How many times have we sat with someone who is mourning? When I thought of Peggy Hernandez this week and sitting with this family and also being one of the ones who was mourning, and the fact that just sitting with people and letting them know that they matter, that they mattered, that that moment and their life mattered. Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. Whether you're comforted by the food we bring, or the fellowship that is around you, or maybe the peace that God gives you, because you know where the one you love has gone. What a blessing. I always remember the time right after Nathan had died, that what I felt was this rainbow of prayers, because I was in Washington, state of Washington, stranger, and the community that Leo and I knew was in San Clemente, California, at the time of his death. And I remember feeling like a rainbow of prayers was coming at me. And I felt the comfort of the people of God praying. We don't know where we give comfort or how we can give comfort. Mostly by our presence and sometimes by our fried chicken. But blessed are the mourned, for they will be comforted. And if we're open to it, we understand how God moves through us to comfort those who are mourning. Many of you know Casey and DJ Pegram, who used to sit back there on that side. And Casey's grandmother died this week. So it's a family who's mourning their child or their parent, their grandparent, their great-grandparent. And to think about the community, and it's Matthew's grandmother, great-grandmother as well, to surround them with that level of comfort, to reach out and say, we know you're hurting. We love you. God loves you. That's how God blesses those who are mourning, not just through God's presence, but our presence with them. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, does this one always confuse you? Some of you are looking like, yeah, this one confuses me. Because what does it mean to be meek? Does it mean to be a little church mouse? Does it mean to be someone who, I was once called a doormat. Does it need to be a doormat? You know, what does it mean to be meek? For they will inherit the earth. Well, think about this for a moment. God created us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. We were given gifts and graces by God so that we could spread God's word and in the world with the things we do and love and work. Some of us at working places, some of us in pulpits, some of us on pianos, some of us in choirs, some of us in soup kitchens, some of us in gardens, you name it. God has graced all of us with gifts for the kingdom of God. When we work out of those gifts, when we live out of those gifts and understand where they come from, we are being meek. We are being humble. When we say, look what I can do. I certainly don't say, look what I can do. I can do a perfect bulletin. But look what I can do. I can love you the best that God shows me how to love you. And if I deny that gift, I'm not being humble. But if I claim that I know how to love because that's who I am, I'm not being humble either. So when we are meek and humble, we inherit the earth. Why do we inherit the earth? Because we are co-creators with God on the kingdom of God. This is our inheritance. And God has given each one of us unique skills and gifts to make this kingdom as God sees it. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, this morning as I read that, the stew was brewing. And I was smelling this wonderful smell of food in the kitchen, and I thought, those who hunger and thirst, oh my goodness, I was hungering. But hunger and thirst for righteousness, that doesn't mean we already think we got it all. That means we're hungry and we're thirsty for it, that we're still seeking righteousness. We're still seeking a right relationship with God, and we're still seeking a right relationship with each other. We are hungering and thirsting for that right relationship. And we will be filled. And we will be filled. Because as we hunger and thirst for it, it means we're working towards it. And God is going to bless the work of God's hands through us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What do you think it means to be pure in heart? Does that mean that we've taken our hearts out and washed them in the washing machine? See, look, it's pure now. I can put it back in. Pure in heart means that our heart is in a right relationship with God. Our heart is in a right relationship with one another. To be pure in heart is to desire God's will be done in your own life and in the lives of those you love. A pure heart is a heart not focused on hate and judgment. A pure heart is a heart focused on love. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, this is where I always think the blessing bowl comes into effect. Because this is always like, I want to be this one. This is the blessing I want to receive. I want to be the blessed one who's a peacemaker. Because then I'm a child of God. But I sort of think we're all children of God in every single blessing that we've already looked at this morning, haven't we? But God desires us to be peacemakers. God desires that we seek peace with one another, but peace within us. I think in verse 8, we were looking at multiple translations earlier this morning, and in verse 8, when it talked about being pure in heart, it talked about the fact that when we got right inside ourselves, so the first thing to do was to get right inside yourself, to look, examine yourself, so that when you're right here, you'll be right here. You'll express it outward, which would make us peacemakers, wouldn't it? And then, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a hard one, isn't it? Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means that you have to stand in a place that God is calling you to stand in, that the world might not agree with. The world might think you're being a fool. That there's a little bit of foolishness in that stance you're taking about this issue or that person. And they may persecute you simply because you are saying, God, the God I know, the God I know and love and who loves me and loves this person, we're doing them wrong. And that may not be the popular stance. And we may be persecuted. Talk to a teenager who stands in that place of right in school and ask them how it feels, as all of their classmates think that no, doing something wrong makes much more sense than doing what's right. And they get persecuted and bullied and picked on. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because they're doing what God is calling us to do. And it's not an easy thing. That's, you know, that fight that we have between good and evil. Our blessing bowl. Blessed are you. Now this is, when we get to verse 11, remember where we're at. Jesus has got the crowd around him who may hear him and may not. We don't know the acoustics of the place. But his disciples have followed him and sat down near him. And I think this particular blessing is for those who are going to go and do his ministry in the world. Listen to it. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Jesus knows that when they go out in the world and proclaim the message of salvation of Jesus Christ, that they are going to be persecuted on his account. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In just a couple moments, we're going to be at this table, and we're going to go through the prayer called the Great Thanksgiving. And in the beginning part of that prayer, it talks about God creating us out of love to be loved, and that our love failed, and that God called us back through prophets. God called us back through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every single one of his disciples, I believe, got persecuted. Not only persecuted, but got killed, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. The world will not be transformed if we are silent. God can make rocks sing. Jesus says that somewhere. I can make the rock shout, Hosanna. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants us to do that. He wants us to proclaim to the world a different way of being in the world, to be as Christ was in the world, to see the value of the broken, to see the value in those who broke them, to see the value in every human life and every non-human life that God created, that the earth that God created that we get such bounty and will be eating and feasting in just a few moments with, that all of that was good. In fact, it was very good. Just read Genesis 1. And God called it very good. But when we stand in that place and proclaim that message of peace, hope, joy, love, sometimes it means we have to tell the world that the world is wrong. And when we do that, we will be persecuted. And people will utter all kinds of evil against us falsely on Jesus' account. The Beatitudes. Jesus saw the crowd, went up the mountain, and after he sat, the disciples joined him. Are we willing to sit there and listen to those words, to be on the winning side of the blessing bowl? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.